It is 11:16. Reconvene the meeting, bringing us to item number 29, which is discussion for possible action. Discussion and consideration to select one of three respondents to the request for proposal to provide solid waste collection and recycling services in Story County and to direct county staff with assistance of Sloan Vasquez McAfee to enter into negotiations with the chosen respondent and to bring a competitively procured last, best, and final service contract to the board for consideration for approval. Sir?
Yep. Good morning, commissioners, Mr. Osborne and county staff. It's a pleasure to be here today. My name is Joe Sloan, principal with Sloan Vasquez McAfee, and we've had the privilege, the honor of being able to help the county through this procurement process. So here we are today, having issued a public request for proposals. We initially had four interested and qualified parties. Three of those parties submitted proposals, and I'm going to give a presentation in regards to those responses, to those proposals that were submitted in response to the county's RFP. I will say this, there is a myriad of detail that's contained in each of the proposals. What I tried to do in the report that was part of the agenda package and in this presentation today is really give you the big picture and the differences between the proposals and the proposers. So that's the tone of this, but as far as detail questions, I'm prepared to answer any of those. So if you could go ahead and cue up the PowerPoint. There you go. There's just some nice artwork for you. You want to next slide, please. So as I said, we had three proposers. Oh. There you go. Yeah, we had three proposers, OLSES Waste Services, Nevada Recycling and Salvage, and your incumbent service provider, Waste Management of Nevada. I will say that all three of those proposers gave an earnest effort. We ended up deciding that OLSES's proposal in total was not responsive, and so it wasn't fully evaluated, and I'll get into a little bit more of that later. Nevada Recycling and Salvage and Waste Management both really did their homework and brought home some very good proposals. And, you know, it's no secret to you who've looked at the report to recognize that essentially this is a dead heat in our scoring process and using the weighted criteria that was deliberated by this board and included in the RFP, they essentially crossed the finish line in a photo finish. So go ahead and go to the next slide, if you would. These are the process goals that were, as again, deliberated and included in the RFP, that we would conduct an RFP process with integrity and transparency. And that's what we've tried to do at each step along the way, is to make sure that everything that we did was open and essentially declared to the public, and that any and all who wanted to participate in terms of potential proposers and the public had opportunities to do so. We wanted to set high performance standard based on your expectations. We wanted to ensure value to the ratepayers. And by the way, this is as an aside, the rates came in at a surprisingly very competitive rates, in my estimation, because I can tell you in the last year, in competitively bid processes, we're seeing rates go up anywhere typically in the 15 to 25% range, as I think we're kind of as a community and society experiencing across the board some pretty incredible rate adjustments that everybody's receiving. Your process here helped to manage those costs because they came in very competitively and pretty close to what your current rates are. And then they wanted to enter into a contract with fair terms and conditions. And so here again, we gave the marketplace the draft contract. They all had an opportunity to review it, make comments on it, and that'll be part of this presentation. Go to the next slide, please. The goals of your current, but also your future programs were set forth clearly in the RFP. We wanted consistent, reliable, quality service across all sectors, residential, commercial, industrial. We wanted efficient service delivery that provides a strong value to the ratepayers. That has to do with the revenue analysis. We wanted a responsive customer service system, one that immediately responds to customer needs, complaints, or compliments, as they may come. We wanted a well-planned and professionally executed transition to any new programs and services. Now, this, and I'll get to this as well, you know, is a place where the incumbent always has an advantage because their transition is very minimal. And it always is. It's not just here. About the only thing that usually has to happen during a transition is if there's actually new programs that are proposed, or it might be some equipment changes. I can say this, and this is always the case. If you do switch providers, you're going to have 60 to 90 days of heartache, and you always do, and it has nothing to do with the proposers here. It's just that anytime that you do a transition from one big hands-on public service where you're touching every person in an entire community, it takes a little while to work out the kinks, and we always tell our clients that, you know, kind of 60 to 90 days is kind of the normal transition heartache, as I describe it, that you go through, and then generally it's smooth sailing thereafter if you've got qualified proposers, which you do. And then quality outreach and education. I will say this, of the two proposers that reviewed, both of them understand the need for community involvement, community outreach and education. Waste Management, as they always do, gave great examples in their proposals of all the different kinds of things in this regard that they can bring to the table. I will say this, and it's, again, this is a general comment just about the competitive procurement process in general. People often present all kinds of things that they can do and that they understand in a proposal. And then once the contract gets in place, some or all, or sometimes none of it actually gets implemented. This would be something that have to be really managed, because there's a big difference between what can be done and what is done in terms of especially this component of public outreach and education. So if you go to the next slide then, Chip. This is the criteria that was deliberated and the weighting that was deliberated among the commissioners almost a year ago now. These are the areas that were graded. Responsiveness to the RFP, that's just a pass or fail grade. And as I mentioned, we had two of the three respondents that passed and one that did not. Having said that, I said it in the report, but I want to say this. I have the highest degree of respect for Old Cess Waste Management. They really I know they're a good company, a small company that provides good service, and they just didn't quite give us everything that we needed in order to be able to accurately evaluate their proposal. So the fact that they didn't cross the bar on responsiveness is really no reflection on the company's ability to provide great service to its existing customer base. Company experience. Company experience, we gave, and by the way, this is a 1,000-point grading system. So it's 15% to customer experience, 10% to customer financial abilities, 25% to the service approach. How are they going to actually provide the service out on the street to your residents and businesses? 10% to references, and then 40% to the cost proposal. And so I will then, if you go to the next slide, please. I'll give you some explanation as to how we go about this, because what we'd like to say is we are totally objective. And then I have to actually fall back and say it's absolutely impossible to be totally objective. And that's the reason that these are proposals and not bids. And the distinction being that, you know, you're looking for the best proposal, not necessarily the cheapest proposal. And all of these other factors come into play, and those are all based on judgment. And that judgment is subjective. It's based on our experience as evaluators and scorers of these. Now, we have some credentials in this area. We've been doing this type of work for 30 years, and we've seen a lot of proposals. And it's from that experience that we go at this process. Now, I will tell you, I have two partners, Carissa McAfee and Enrique Vasquez, thus the fancy name of Sloan Vasquez McAfee. We've been working together for a long time. Enrique's background is in business administration and financial analysis. Carissa's background is that she worked for a decade as a contract manager for one of the largest waste and recycling companies in the world. And then I got started on the back of a trash truck. That's why I still have this grease under my fingernails. But we've all been at this for a good long time, and we've seen a lot of proposals. And we have a way that we go at this. Enrique, as I said, the financial analysis, he pretty much does the sole analysis on the cost proposals. Carissa and I confer on the other analysis, and we come to an agreement on what we think the score should be. And usually we're like right in the same vein on each of these elements, and we were in this regard. So for customer experience, you can't be better than the incumbent. You can't have more experience than somebody who's been actually here in the community doing it for a long period of time. So that right off the bat says that it's going to really be hard to outscore the incumbent in a proposal process on experience. And so whoever gives the best proposal in a certain area of evaluation gets 100% of the points. And that's waste management of the 15%, 150 points. They were awarded 150 points. But then we look at the aspect of how much of this is salient or vital to actually serving this contract. And so when we looked at Nevada Recycling and Salvage, we see that they have an abundance of experience in servicing the commercial sector, very little in the residential sector. And we ended up giving them 85% on this, because we think that in their proposal and with some of their background of some of their employees, that they certainly have the ability to provide residential service. But because the company as a whole hasn't done it, that's the reason for the 85% grade. So they got 127.5 points there. company financial abilities. Here again, in any competitive process, if waste management's in it, they're always going to have the biggest and strongest financial capabilities of anybody in the room. And it's because they're the largest provider of waste and recycling services in the world by a pretty good margin. So when you look at their financials, they're pretty eye-popping. So here again, this is one where waste management got 100% of the points that were available in that category. Nevada Recycling and Salvage got 90%, and it's not because they're 90% by comparison to waste management's total financial ability, but they got 90% because when we're looking at their financials, we felt very confident that they had the financial strength to be able to provide the proposed services. So they couldn't achieve the entire, they couldn't get the high bar achieved by waste management, but they were capable financially of doing what they proposed. The service approach, this was one that was a little bit of a surprise to us in that Nevada Recycling, and when I say a surprise, it's not that I had low expectations, it's just that regardless of who's in the room or who's on board, sometimes somebody offers something novel or different. And that's really what Nevada Recycling and Salvage did in this regard. And I'll get into more detail on that, but we awarded 95% of the available points to Nevada Recycling and Salvage. It primarily had to do with their very aggressive approach to recycling, non-mandatory, but delivery to every customer in this county of recycling service and dedicated personnel to make sure that they maximize the recycling service, as well as really responding thoroughly to the service issues that are sometimes encountered during inclement weather. They proposed equipment and a methodology not just for implementation during those inclement weather periods, but year-round in terms of providing service to those difficult-to-service areas with smaller, more ample equipment. Waste management also proposed smaller equipment. They proposed to deploy it only during periods of inclement weather, not year-round. And although they certainly have the capabilities of recycling, it wasn't presented as an emphasis as it was in the Nevada Recycling and Salvage proposal, therefore the difference in scoring. References, the questions that we normally ask during references are from, you're a municipal client, and we would ask questions of municipal clients. So we would want all the proposers to give us municipal references. Only waste management had municipal references. All the other companies gave us references as required. We didn't say give us municipal references. We just said we want references from your client base. Those were provided. And the pretty much the solitary question for those references was this. You receive a vital, you know, public and corporate service from this company. Are you able to give them a high recommendation without reservation? That was the question there. And in every case, with every reference, as you might expect, because they're the ones they list, we got high references for all three companies. On the cost proposal, that's 400 points, and we split that 200 points under reasonableness and 200 points under competitiveness. Reasonableness means this. Do their costs that they presented in the cost forms represent enough revenue for them to be able to provide their proposed services. Okay, so that's reasonableness. It's because sometimes we see numbers that are all over the board, and we see people that are coming in way, way under what we know the cost of service delivery to be, or sometimes way over what we know the cost of service delivery to be. So we gauge that based on the cost projections of the company to provide the service is the reasonableness factor. And I can say both of the companies that we evaluated got all 200 points because they came very close to each other on a projection of costs. And when we looked at the cost and we know the market and we know the cost of providing the service, they were both right in. The other one was, and you can see that waste management got 393 points out of the 400. That's because on the overall revenue requirement, that's all total revenue combined, residential, commercial. Nevada Recycling and Salvage's total revenue requirement was just a mite lower than waste management's. So when we total all that up, and by the way, this, we didn't make any effort to, we evaluated each one of these separately and came to this, and it was almost embarrassing because it really, it's a dead heat. There's only 0.5% difference in our scoring between waste management and Nevada Recycling and Salvage, although there are important differences between their proposals. So just based on the matrix and based on the allocation of points, we came to what I would consider really, in reality, a dead heat. Then we can go to the next. And I won't really belabor this, but if you, there's really three revenue components, but we only evaluate, for sake of comparison, the two that are absolutely known. And that is, we know the residential customers, and how many there are and what the service requirements are. And we know the commercial customers and how many there are and what the service requirements are. There is a third factor, and in this county, it's big. It's a big factor. It's the roll-off consideration. The reason that we don't include that here is because roll-off is, these others are pretty static in terms of customer count and service. The roll-off is so unpredictable, and it's unknown because it's not routed. These services are routed. Roll-off, by and large, although there's some roll-offs that are on routes, by and large, roll-off is an on-call service, and it ebbs and flows with business cycles and with the economy, with whatever happens to be going on in that particular business in terms of production or waste generation, that the revenue and the services related to roll-off service are very fluid, very dynamic. And so we do look at that number, and we're going to present that to you. But it's not included in the total revenue requirement that we evaluate and score for that reason. So you can see that on the residential revenue requirement, waste management was lower by about 7.3% on commercial. Nevada Recycling and Salvage was lower by about 12.7%. And the total difference in the revenue projected, now this is for residential and bin service, is about 3.5% difference between the two. And I can say some of that is nuanced and some of it would be open to discussion between us and the companies, but it's going to be very close. And if there is a correction that needs to be made, I don't believe that it'll change the order of things. So go to the next slide, please. Uh, And here again, I'm not going to go through each of the numbers, but if you really come down to it, just look at the bottom line, total operating costs, waste management, according to our evaluation of their cost forms, showed a 78.5% total operating cost, with Nevada Recycling and Salvage at 71.4%, an operating profit for waste management of 13.5%, and 16.9% for waste management, for Nevada Recycling and Salvage. Interest expense, waste management showed none, which meant to us that they don't plan on carrying the costs of any of this equipment in relationship to this contract. Nevada Recycling and Salvage showed just under 2%. And if you look at the profit allowance, that's $149,000 a year for waste management and $159,000 for Nevada Recycling and Salvage. They were just close all the way around. So go to the next slide, please. As you will see on the residential, on the residential service, the rate that is proposed by waste management is almost a little over $2, or I should say a little less than $2 a month, less than the rate proposed by Nevada Recycling and Salvage. And then you can, I'm not going to read through each of these rates, but the rates that were proposed by waste management, although, as I said, they're very close, they're lower on the residential side than those proposed by Nevada Recycling and Salvage. Go to the next slide, please. Now, this is where some nuance comes into play, and it's where we as evaluators have to make some adjustments to the actual proposed revenue requirements that the companies propose. And here's an example of it. We had to make some adjustments to the revenue requirement that was projected by waste management. And here's why. In the RFP, there was an attachment to the RFP, attachment 5. And what we did in attachment 5 is we had asked the company, waste management, to provide for us the number of residential services, the service levels, and the customer counts for all the residents. We asked for the same thing on commercial. There's essentially on the commercial rate matrix, there's 48 potential rates that may be offered, that are offered by the companies. And so waste management gave us, at the beginning of the RFP process, they gave us these numbers, that this is how many commercial customers we have, this is the service level they have, this is how many residential we have, this is the service level they have. However, in their proposal, the other respondents, both OLSES and Nevada Recycling and Salvage, used the numbers that were in the RFP that were provided by waste management. In their proposal, waste management used a different number, a different distribution, and a different number of residential customers and also commercial customers. And they also used a lower total disposal number than the number that we put in the RFP. In terms of total disposal for the year, waste management gave a lower number than the number they gave us for the RFP. Now, this portends nothing nefarious. I'm sure it's a result of this. The numbers that they gave us that we included in the RFP and that the others used to base their cost projections on, they used the numbers that were in the RFP. Waste management, I think, whenever you're putting together a proposal like this, there's lots of hands get on it. And I'm sure somebody said, hey, those aren't our current numbers. Our current numbers are this. And they probably, in their RFP, they used their current numbers, not the ones that were in the RFP. So what we needed to do with their rates is we needed to normalize them to the other proposers by applying their rates to the number of services that were in the RFP document, not the number that they had listed. We also normalized the tonnage to the which affects the revenue projection. That's related to disposal, because the others used a disposal number that was the one that was in the RFP. Waste Management used a lower number, I'm sure, that was based on their current experience. So those are important points, and those were vital to normalize if what we really want to do is compare apples and oranges. So that's it. Then if you go on to the next slide, this is the proposed Dropbox rates. And here again, this is because most of these services are on call. This is why we don't include them in the total revenue analysis, but they're important for you to look at because they do represent a big giant chunk of this business. Nevada Recycling and Salvage. Now there's what's called a per pull rate. A per pull rate is everybody know what a roll off box is? You know, the big 20 foot long, and it's either a 20, 30, 40 yard, depending on the height of the box. Roll off truck drops that. Well, the pull rate is what it would be if you bring an empty, drop it, pick up the full one, and go dump it. Okay, that's what you're paying for on a pull rate. Waste Management's bid was $279.77. Nevada Recycling and Salvage is $2.09. So it's about a little over a $10 difference per pull. However, there are other components, but the two primary components that generate by far the lion's share of revenue are the pull rate and the disposal cost. So Nevada Recycling and Salvage proposed $42.70 a ton for their disposal rate. So what you're paying for when you do a pull is you're paying let's just look at Nevada Recycling and Salvage. You're paying $290 for the pull plus $42.70 per ton for whatever's in the box. Waste Management is $279.77, which is 10 bucks lower, but their disposal rate is $51.37, which is 9 bucks higher. So if you've got a one-ton load in the box, those rates are going to be almost the same. If you've got a two-ton load, Nevada Recycling and Salvage, because of their lower disposal rate, starts to be less expensive. Now, if you go down to the bottom, there are some temp bin four-yard pickups. These are temp bins, meaning a four- or a six-yard bin that's dropped off at a place, and they say, I just need it for a week. Okay, that's, or whatever the temporary amount of time is. And there's quite a disparity here between Waste Management's proposed costs and Nevada Recycling and Salvage. I haven't dug into those. That's just what they proposed. There may be some explanation there that I don't know about. So basically, I will tell you, it boils down to this for me. You notice, and it's not because we're afraid to do it. We didn't make a recommendation. We simply said, this is the way we see it. And you commissioners have the care of the community. And these things are qualitative issues that really fall to your discretion, not to ours. But I will tell you just in a nutshell how I see it. You've got two really, really good proposals, one by the biggest, largest, most capable company in the world. It's your current service provider. Another by a good, solid local company that's been in business here for about 20 years and has a lot of happy customers. They don't have exact direct experience doing everything that they're proposing to do here, but they have on their staff people who do have that experience. The service proposal that has been proposed by Nevada Recycling and Salvage is very good. And in our estimation, it was superior to the one that was proposed by Waste Management. But it's not like a grand slam versus a strikeout. There are nuanced differences because Waste Management proposed essentially they touched on everything that was indicated as a important topic to the commission and in the RFP. It's just that when you looked at the opportunity for ratepayers to reduce their rates based upon the proposal that was given by Nevada Recycling and Salvage, with their projection of increasing recycling tonnage by 50% in the county, whenever you see that kind of increase in recycling, it also equates to a reduction in waste management costs because costs that they were paying to throw things away, they're going to be paying a lower rate based on the recycling, the cost of recycling. So that was really an important distinction. Also, Nevada Recycling and Salvage, I think they included the addition of two full-time customer service reps that will be specifically allocated to only to Story County. One that would be an in-office person to field all calls specifically solitarily for Story County. The other, a field customer service person, would be full-time in the field taking care of customer service issues in the field. Waste Management made a great explanation of their present current customer service system and all of its capacities, its capabilities, and the ability to meet customer needs. But it relies a lot on automation and people that are at a distance. And I know that had been a concern of the commission. So bottom line, it is this. You've got the local company that's given you a really good service proposal. You've got your incumbent who has got every capability in the world, and it's a low risk proposal that they give you because to be frank, Nevada Recycling and Salvage has never proven as a company that they can operate at this level. So when you look at Waste Management, who's the incumbent, there definitely is lower risk in selecting them as your provider. In terms of service provision to your residents and businesses, you have an opportunity, it looks like, to secure some services that you were, you indicated were important to you. So that's, I don't know if that clears the air any, but we see, it's kind of, in my opinion, it's like a no-lose situation. One of the proposers will lose, but the county can't lose because we think both companies are fully capable of following through on the proposals that they've made. So with that, I can answer questions or be seated and take questions as they arise.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for either Sloan or either one of the companies that are both with us today?
I don't have any questions at this point. Certainly, I'm going to reserve some comments for following discussion that we as commissioners will have. I can set a benchmark and indicate that I am leaning toward selecting Nevada Recycling and Salvage as our first focus for negotiating an opportunity for Story County. I believe that as a culture, they represent our best opportunity in a negotiating position to enhance the position of the county. And so as a negotiator, I would look forward to working with the Nevada Recycling in putting a new contract together. But that's for openers for our discussion today for my chair. Thank you.
All right. Much appreciated, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman, do you have any questions or comments right now?
I have a couple of questions. And I, the first one, I don't know if it's better to go to Joe or to the proposer, but I was just looking for maybe a little bit more detail on the recycling proposal from Nevada Recycling and Salvage. Is it as straightforward as it seems? Service, just any sort of color there would be helpful to just understand a little more. What's
okay. Yes. Nevada Recycling and Salvage essentially offered to do blue bag recycling for every household. And, you know, they offered to co-collect it with the garbage and then pull the blue bags out and recover those, transport them to their recycling facility and in Reno and process that material there. So essentially everybody in the that's a resident, I mean, their only expense in recycling will be buying blue bags. Okay, so that would be that. That's included in their rates. They on the commercial side, a lot of the activity related to this field customer service person would be completely dedicated to meeting with every generator and designing a recycling collection program for each commercial generator to help them maximize recycling and reduce their overall waste management costs. And that's the big picture. You know, waste management also can do the blue bag program and take that approach with recycling. It was just less clear, especially on the commercial side, it was less clear that they, you know, plan to do anything what I'd call extraordinary as it relates to trying to pump up recycling from the commercial side.
Understood. Thank you. That's helpful.
So they'll be able to give you more.
For sure. Thank you. I don't know if this is relevant or not, but I'm wondering as we look at NRS coming in with slightly lower disposal fees, was there an indication that that's because they were able to actually dispose at a lower cost, or was it related to this approach where we're routing a fair amount of the waste through recycling as opposed to traditional disposal methods?
Well, it's pretty straightforward in the cost forms, and that is just what is your disposal rate for disposal period, and it wasn't related to any specific service item. It's just saying whatever we have to dispose of, we're going to pass that through at, I can't remember exactly, but like $42 a ton.
Yeah,
and so that was about $9 a ton lower than the waste management disposal, which is kind of unusual too, because the waste management has the landfill and you know, it's up to them to decide what they want to charge. Also,
about this, because the recording won't pick you up.
We're breaking for lunch, right?
Yeah. Sim Saunders did it.
They gave it an extra tug over there, yeah. I think.
It's by the hour. It's by the hour.
Yeah.
You're probably good now.
Okay. All right. So I want to say this. I wouldn't characterize these differences as nuanced because they are distinct and quantifiable differences between the proposals. I can also say, though, as I mentioned earlier, that I believe whether it's waste management or it's Nevada Recycling and Salvage, some of these things during if the commission gives direction to go and negotiate a last, best, and final contract with one of the proposers, I think that these things that that appear to be negotiable, you know, I think we can work some of those things out in negotiation. So, yeah.
Great. Thank you. You partially answered one of my questions about the lighter equipment. It sounds like, because I was curious about how that, if there's an anticipation of fewer service interruptions in inclement weather, and it sounds like both proposers have taken that into account.
Yes.
It sounds like the major benefit of the NRS proposal is potentially reduced road wear, because they're talking about using that equipment, at least in some parts of the county, year round. Is that a correct understanding?
Yes, that's it precisely. Waste management gave two options actually for equipment selection, and both would fit within the same pricing scheme. They were both very good equipment selection proposals. They proposed to deploy that equipment during these tough times, during the inclement weather times. Nevada Recycling and Salvage proposed only one type of truck, but it's smaller, lighter, and it's comparable to one of the options that waste management offered. But they said, we recognize that this is hard on county roads with these big, heavy trucks trying to access a lot of these tough to service areas. And so we're going to use the smaller trucks all the time in those areas. So that's the distinction.
Gotcha. Thank you. I know this is a relatively minor point. Did either of the proposals discuss or mention the ability to provide Sunday service to commercial businesses here in Virginia City? I know in the grand scheme of things, it's a fairly minor thing, but and I imagine it could be discussed in negotiations, but I know it's a kind of an important one for the merchants that are here in town.
I have to say, I know that that was an item of discussion, but I can't say with certainty. I would have to go and look for it, because I don't recall specifically. I know that we talked about it in meetings, but I don't recall seeing that proposal in the, but I could determine. Yes.
May I ask Austin Osborne for a record, if that was or was not included in either of them, is that something that could be negotiated with the?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yes. Answer is yes.
Great. Thank you. And then just so I understand, the methodology on the cost competitiveness, it appears to me, and you mentioned that the overall methodology there was to look at the overall revenue.
Right.
Which didn't seem to mirror exactly the individual rate structure.
That's right.
And so it looked like while the nod was given slightly to NRS on the overall, it looked like not across the board, but a fair number of the rates were slightly cheaper on the waste management side.
And here's the reason that we go at it in that way, is because in the final analysis, just like with the franchise fee, it doesn't really affect their rates. It affects what they bill people, but it doesn't affect what they get paid. It's whatever you say. It's 5% or 10 or whatever it may be. But the same is true with the overall rate requirement. What the proposers know is it's going to take, let's just say, $1 million to service these accounts. They don't care if they get zero from residential and a million from commercial, or the other way around, or what they care about is making sure that they have the total revenue that's required for them to provide all the proposed services. So the reason that we present it the way that we do is because actually you as a county, as a governing body, have the ability to kind of divvy that revenue around as you see fit, because we're looking at a total revenue requirement, not a specific rate.
Understood. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Chairman, if you feel it's appropriate, I'd love to hear from the applicants or the proposers as well, and give them an opportunity to respond. One of the specific questions that I wanted to confirm is that if we do look at a different structure on the franchise fee, I just want to confirm that that would have a commensurate impact on the rates. In other words, if we were to drop it from 8 to 4, would we see rates go down by 4%? If we drop it to 0, would we see rates go down by 8%? I just want to make sure that that's lined up fairly closely to what those rates. So if we are in the further discussion or the negotiations looking at a different rate for the franchise fee, that actually is something that gets passed on to the customer, so to speak.
So I'm going to be sure to say I'm not an attorney and I don't play one ever. But I can say in every jurisdiction that we've worked with over these last decades, the franchise fee is an issue just for this body. That's the franchise fee, because, you know, we included that 8% franchise fee in the cost forms, mm-hmm. but that has no impact whatsoever on the revenue that they receive. And so that can be adjusted. That's at your discretion. We put it in there as a placeholder. Yep. You could make it one fee for residents, another for commercial. You could make it a dollar fee as opposed to a percentage fee. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that you can do it, I believe, and I'll defer to your counsel on that. But that's always been our experience. So we put it in there as a placeholder. But all we have to do is back it out, and it just shows exactly what their revenue requirements are, and that's what they're concerned about. You can make the fee whatever you deem appropriate.
Very good. Thank you. My last either question or comment just specifically has to do with countywide exclusivity, and I understand the challenges of, for example, monitoring recycling to make sure it's actually recycling and not waste, and that we don't have the manpower to do that. It just rubs me the wrong way to close off completely for roll off service, for C&D, to not have anyone allowed to do business other than the franchisee in those areas. And so that's more of a discussion, I think, for us as the commission. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention that was kind of a misgiving. I realize that's the way we went out with the RFP, but it is kind of a concern of mine. But with that being said, I really want to thank both of the proposers that are here and the work that's gone into this. I know it's a lot of work to do that. And Joe, thank you for your work in summarizing this and making it digestible for us. That's what I got.
Yeah, appreciate it. I share your sentiments. I was actually pleasantly surprised to see that both came in essentially neck and neck. I would like to hear from both parties if they do have something to say regarding the franchise fee. I think I share your sentiments in the sense that I would be willing to entertain, barring legal counsel telling us it's all right, a reduction in that franchise fee. At the end of the day, it results in lower costs to the residents or the customers. I think, I don't know if the attorney's office has an opinion on that right now, but if you do, just chime in. either one, but.
Well, and Brian and I have been both working on this. So virtually what you're saying, if there was, just to make sure that we're on the right page, Brian, as far as the legal issues on this, you're saying that if there was no franchise fee whatsoever, that that would lower the base rates of the two people that have applied here today? So, from the presentation that was given today?
Correct. I mean, the theory would be if we reduce the franchise fee at some point, where does the cost savings go?
Right.
I assume that goes to the customer, right? And then the magic number is, what is that cost savings? Because I don't think it's a direct 8% or 4%. I think it's a little more complicated than that. But
It is. And I think that, Brian, chime in with me. So the franchise fee is going to be a percentage of, you could say, we don't want any franchise fee. So right. That's where your 8% savings would come in. I don't know if it necessarily affects.
Yeah.
So you're not looking at the bottom line of the numbers that were presented here today.
So if you, the rates that you saw up here include the 8% franchise.
Right.
They okay. do include it. Now, it has no impact on them if you take it out. It has zero impact.
It's a direct pass-through.
It's a direct pass-through. So all they're doing is they're paying you 8% on their revenue. But if you tell them you want 5% or no percent on their revenue, it doesn't change their revenue. Their revenue remains the same. So it doesn't change their costs and their cost proposal at all. It only changes. We put that in there so you could just see what it looked like, what the number was at 8%. And so it's not changing anything in relationship to any of the bidders' cost proposals. It's just that 8% we put in there as a placeholder, recognizing from our earlier discussions that this was going to come up and you guys were going to make some decisions about really what you ultimately wanted to do with the franchise fee. And that was known to all the proposers as well. It has no impact on them or their pricing. Their pricing is what it is. The franchise fee is, they're not proposing different franchise fees. They're not, one's not proposing 9 and the other proposing 7. It was a set fee that was in the forms. And, it's just a direct pass through and it can be taken out or left in, however you want to adjust it.
Does that answer your question?
I think so. I mean,
maybe I'm missing something, but if we're removing the franchise fee, you're telling me that if I pay $30 a month for garbage and there's now no franchise fee, I'm still going to pay $30?
It'd be 8%.
That's okay. So that's, I think, what we're all getting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I just wanted to confirm that.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't built in otherwise into the proposal.
I agree. Okay. All right. Neither one.
Just for a second. Brian, did you have anything to add? Uh-oh, you're on mute.
With that last clarification, I don't have anything to add. Yes, it would reduce.
Okay, because I think that's the end goal, right?
Yes.
Lowest
yes.
cost to the customer. Yes. All right. So with that said, either one of the proposers have anything that they want to say? If you do, come on up, state your name for the record.
First of all, you've heard it probably 4 or 5 times today. Happy New Year. We're here on the day after the brand new year starts. Thank you for your time, Commissioners Carmona, Mitchell, and Mr. Gilman. My name is Terry Bentley. I'm the General Manager, Nevada Recycling and Salvage. And I just want to comment on an item that I heard a couple months ago from Mr. Gilman. And that was how he thanked his staff, Mr. Auburn and his staff, Osborne, excuse me, on the tasks that were taken to do the infrastructure for the USA Parkway, and how some said perhaps they needed help to do that, but they didn't. Mr. Osborne and his staff did that completely on their own, completed it, and that's much like NRS. While we're smaller, we do have the capability, the expertise with the staff we have, with 30 years of my experience in the industry while bringing it to Nevada Recycling and Silage. So why Nevada Recycling and Salvage. Well, as the consultant's evaluation came up, where economic factors are pretty even. We had a very creative customer program tailored to the customers here, Story County. We're a local business, local customer service, and I want to be part of this program with the county and assisting the customer service of your constituents. And we have to think a little bit differently because we don't have a landfill, as you stated, Mr. Mitchell, about recycling heavy creative programs, which we've offered in our proposal on the commercial side, as well as the residential side with the blue bags. And that's recognizing that in your residential programs right now, only 5%, as we see in paper, there may be different now, but that's what we found in the proposal, only 5% of your customers recycle. So with the blue bag program, we're hoping to bring out more, which you see some, again, these are assumptions, but I think there's a barrier there that we're breaking. It's a little bit easier for people to do that in this environment. Having seen it in different environments in Northern California and in some of the Nevada locations. So again, we have a locally trained service, specialized equipment tailored to the community. We have a dynamic range of customer and commercial services. We're focused on waste diversion, hiring someone to go out and do characterizations of business to find out what their individual needs are at that business. Well, we want to expand on recycling drop-off locations around your community, something we negotiate and work on during contract negotiations. And stated earlier, in regards to the franchise fees, we really don't have that to pass through, and I think we've covered that one if there's any questions on that. And if you do have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those for you.
All right, appreciate that. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions? For Mr. Bentley right now?
No questions at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I don't have any questions right now. Thank you, Mr.
Bentley. All right. I don't have any questions either, but while you're here, is there anybody in the public that has any questions? I mean, this impacts you guys as well as us three. Anybody on Zoom or in the courtroom have any questions for Mr. Bentley?
Eileen Gay, member of the public. I didn't see a way to raise my hand. I apologize for just busting in.
You're okay.
Okay. Does this discussion include Painted Rock?
Yes, it does.
Okay. A question that I have is, we have annual increases with the current vendor, and it's over a period of 3 years gone up from 126 to now $142. They raise it annually in December. So I'd like to just point out that that's a consideration too, is how often your vendor would raise their rates and what kind of percentages, you know, the local residents can expect for that. And that's it.
Thank you, Eileen. Yeah. I appreciate you being here as well. So,
question.
Yep, whoever.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Ms. Gay, Joe Sloan here. Thank you for the question. The contractor cannot increase their rates willy-nilly. It's set as a term of the service agreement of the contract. And it is set to occur annually as a percentage of a specific consumer price index that's related to waste management costs for this specific area. So the rate adjustment is set as a term of the contract. And yes, it does occur annually, and it can go up or down. Usually as things go, they go up, but we have experienced occasions when they have gone down or have been static. Recently, with all of the rip-roaring cost escalations that we've all experienced. We've seen, as I mentioned earlier, when I was talking about the rates that were proposed here, you can thank your lucky stars that Waste Management did what they did, and Nevada Recycling and Salvage did as well, in relationship to holding rates, because what we've seen in other communities is 15, 20, 25% adjustments during the last 12 months.
So Mr. Sloan, just to clarify, in the RFP, and we've anticipated the same process for rate increases as what has been in place in the past.
Yes.
And so that's what we laid out as going forward. There'd be no change.
No, it's the same index. Yeah. Same as it's always been. It's an annual adjustment. It's provided for, and it's specified. There's a formula for it. And it's like I said, the contractor can't just come in. I guess if they had extraordinary, there is a provision for extraordinary rate adjustments that have to there, but they're not granted by the contract. They'd have to be granted independently by you as a body.
Understood.
Okay.
So thank you. Eileen, I think the answer to your question is, regardless of who we select, I would expect an annual increase. I think that's a fair budgeting plan.
All right, Eileen Gay, a member of the public, thank you so much for responding to that. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you again, Eileen.
There's a chat question from Alexi.
Yeah.
Says, has NRS provided evidence of recyclers that they will take waste to in Nevada? And is this exclusive in collecting recycled materials? What recyclable materials will NRS collect? That's getting in the weeds here.
A little bit. Well,
Alexia, can you do me a favor and just jump on instead of chatting? Can you?
Yeah, Jay, sorry. I have background noise here and I didn't want to be disruptive. Thank you. My questions, you know, are they only collecting like food waste and regular household waste for recycling? That would be my first question. The second question is, do they already have relationships established with recyclers in Nevada or in Northern Nevada where they plan to take the waste for recycling? And do they have exclusivity in collecting recyclable materials in Story County? And I guess what would those materials include? I know that those are three questions. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Thank you. So just so that you know, Mr. Bentley's here from Nevada Recycling.
Okay.
Terry Bentley. Okay. I'll answer the first part of the question. We do have relationships with recyclers, not specific. When we get the material, we separate ones, twos. Number ones, twos, plastics, paper, cardboard, metal, those types of things. We do have relationships with some of those people in Northern California, but there are some processors that are not in specific to Nevada. Now they're in California or over in Asia where we would be sending this material for processing. We're trying to find local places, but then they're becoming more and more apparent these days. But there's not many processors to say. We recycle at our own facility here in Northern Nevada.
So, Alexia, just let me jump in here real quick.
Yep.
So the only thing I missed in answering the question is your recycling program essentially a free-for-all? Like she asked about recycling food waste. I assume that's not something you guys do?
No, we don't do food waste at this time.
Okay, but you do obviously metal.
Metal, yes, plastics.
Plastics, batteries.
Fiber, yes.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Alexia?
Yeah, slightly. Also, is there exclusivity in the potential contract for collecting recyclable materials such as batteries or metal?
I'll have Mr. Sloan will answer that.
Okay, yeah. So just to say, Nevada Recycling and Salvage has a material recovery facility in Reno, and so their proposal indicates that the material that they collect in Story County would be taken there and processed, and then, as Mr. Bentley described, those those recovered products, the metals, the ferrous and non-ferrous metals, the polyethylene and high density plastics would be separated, and those are marketed to either end users or to buyer brokers. Waste management has that capacity as well. They have a huge, extensive network, the biggest network in the world of recycling processing facilities, and they've got processing capacity here in Northern Nevada as well. So both companies would take whatever material that they collect for recycling and would process it locally, and then they would sell those recovered commodities into the post-consumer marketplace. So that's that. We did not ask in the RFP for any proposals related to food waste collection. And primarily it's this, that, you know, the county, as large as it is and as sparsely populated as it is, the cost of providing source separated food waste collection would be astronomical. And so, you know, we had that part of that discussion way early on in the process, and it wasn't part of the RFP process. So that answers what I think I heard. Anything else?
Exclusivity.
Oh, exclusivity. Well, recycling is exclusive if you pay a fee to get the service. It's not exclusive if the recycler comes in and offers you money for your recyclable commodities. So the exclusivity is only if you pay a fee for service. It's non-exclusive if, let's just say, you generate a whole bunch of aluminum cans and you want to sell them to a recycler. You're not precluded from doing that. You certainly can, if you've got stuff that's got value and somebody wants to come in and pay you to take it away, that's open.
This is Alexia, for the record. I just want to thank the board for taking my questions and thank both of the men who came up to answer them. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment, any questions right now? Oh, yeah, please come on up. Sorry. I usually look that way and never this way, so I'm trying to look more this way, not that way.
I'm sure we'll be working this process here if you wanted to have more public comment. Chairman Carmona, Commissioner Mitchell, Commissioner Gilman, I'm Kendra Kostelecki for Waste Management. And I just want to answer some of the topics that have come up here, address some of the topics. And with respect to Mr. Bentley and Sloan, a lot of discussion today has been about the local company versus WM. I live in Nevada, and all of my colleagues live in Nevada, and all of the providers working in Story County live in Nevada. So there's really not a such thing as a remote garbage provider. We're all here invested and interested in the community, being paid by WM and spending money in the community. So just my personal take, I don't like the use of the word local against WM. We are local and we are invested here and we do give back to the community. I did also want to mention, as far as customer service, there was a mention about a difference in our proposals for customer service, and the way that was listed may look like our customer service is being presented differently. But I do want to point out that WM has on the ground employees that are out in USA Parkway and out in our area and available to customers who want to be right sized, as we call it. So if they are interested in recycling, we'll come out and talk to them about what the best size of that service is, what they should be putting in their trash service, how often they should be getting trash service, so that they're not being overcharged for a service level that they're not using. So although we list it differently, we do actually have what might be considered customer service agents working with the people in our community. I also want to address recycling. Commissioner Gilman had previously mentioned wanting to have a leader in sustainability to bring business to Story County. And Waste Management is not only a leader in sustainability, they are an innovator worldwide, nationwide, internationally. We are constantly looking at ways to develop new programs here in Story County and in Northern Nevada. Right now, we are eyeing an organics program that we're hoping to roll out very soon. We do offer recycling. We don't like the idea necessarily forcing recycling on anyone. Recycling is a business driven by personal behaviors and market desires. So telling someone that they can get cheaper garbage by putting something in their recycling, as you may remember, because we provide free recycling at the transfer stations, may encourage some people to put things in recycling that are not actually recyclable. So what you're really doing is creating a greater greenhouse gas footprint, a greater carbon footprint for the disposal of those items, because they will have to be sorted out and put in the trash, even though they were placed in a recycling bin. So I just want you to keep that in mind. And I also want to say that WM appreciates the opportunity to have been your provider up to this point, and we are committed to continuing to work with county residents, businesses, and staff, even after a contract is signed, to get you to where you need to be with your goals for the community. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, while you're here, I just want to point something out. So my district is probably the most difficult district to collect trash. It is definitely no secret to anybody that's been out to the Highlands. It is no joke, especially in the winter. So I will tell you from the decision-making perspective, very happy to hear that Nevada Recycling is willing to dedicate two specific customer service agents. My fellow commissioners probably don't know this because they have not interacted with Waste Management. And again, I think it's just important that everybody knows I have seen a substantial improvement with Waste Management. They have put forth, I believe, a call center now in Carson City, specifically for the Highlands, possibly all of Story County. I think regardless of who we go with, having designated folks for Story County is extremely critical. So one, thank you guys for offering that, because I think it's going to be very beneficial. And thank you to you guys for taking that approach. I believe now it's going on 2 years, because we did struggle calling the 1-800 number. We'd get transferred to Arizona. No, you know, they weren't familiar with the services up here. So unfortunately, I just directly, you know, I worked with Rich, the previous manager, regarding trash issues in the Highlands on how to make sure my constituents were taken care of. And so that's the only reason that I happen to know this information. And I just want everybody to realize that, again, it's fantastic you guys are willing to dedicate the staff to that, because I think it's needed, and that you guys have done that to help try to accommodate the issues out there. You know, and then as far as my roads, because they're dirt, obviously appreciate the fact that you guys are looking at less impactful vehicles that are not going to damage my roads. You know, it hasn't been too bad. You know, you guys obviously use larger equipment, you know, because that puts pressure on me. If your trash trucks come by and damage the roads and my residents get upset because now there's big ruts in the road. Very fortunate. We really haven't had that issue no matter what, but I'm glad that you guys are also, as the new bidders, taking into consideration that, you know, we do have some delicate roads out here, infrastructure that needs to be replaced. It's very old. And so, again, I just want to make sure those things are pointed out and appreciate the fact that you have taken that into consideration. So.
Can I make one? Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Can I make one more comment? I wanted to address Commissioner Mitchell's question about Sunday service. We have worked on that. We did, as you mentioned, Chairman Carmona, have some trouble with weekend service when we first rolled out. We worked to overcome and accommodate local businesses here in Virginia City. And of course, if that's what you want, we're going to make that happen.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment or questions at this point? Or comments from Nevada Recycling in response to anything that was said? All right, so I guess at this point, unless further deliberation is required, we have two options here. So we can either take the information that was given to us today, mull this over, and revisit this at a future commission meeting, or we can, I believe Commissioner Gilman seemed to be ready to make a motion at this point. I don't know if you still feel that way, sir.
I'd like to share some further comments, if I may, just for the general thought process here as we move forward.
Sure.
It appears to me that we are considering two very qualified companies that are certainly capable of supplying all of our services. And if I'm not mistaken, we as commissioners are looking to select one of them at this point to negotiate with over the next year while creating and crafting a last and final and complete service contract. It's also my understanding that many of the items that we'll be discussing during the next year for that contract are negotiable. And so many of the questions that we have brought up or considering here today can be folded into those negotiations as we move forward. I also believe that in those negotiations, if they aren't successful, that the county can certainly step back and select another provider should we prove to run into some type of roadblocks in those negotiations. So if I'm approaching this in the right circumstance, I believe we're looking to select a company to negotiate with over the next year, arm's length, with the opportunity to make a last and final and complete contract. And it strikes me at this point in the process that I would like to see us negotiating with the Nevada Recycling and Salvage Group for the year. I believe that they have the propensity to negotiate flexibly and with, let me say, a certain amount of desire to capture the contract. And I believe out of those negotiations, there's a strong probability that we could come up with a financially satisfactory and rewarding opportunity for all of Story County. That being said, we have to select a company. We have to go into negotiations. I'm certainly going to join my fellow commissioners as we move forward on that basis. I'm willing to do that today if you would like. But I would select Nevada Recycling and Salvage as our first opening salvo to negotiate with during the coming 12 months. Thank you for the opportunity to make my comments.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Gilman. As always, much appreciated. To clarify for anybody listening in, my understanding is, yes, the decision today is who do we go into contract negotiations with? Company A, if we go in with Company A and they don't like the terms that we are going to present during negotiations, they can always back out. And then we look at Company B and negotiate with Company B, assuming they still want to negotiate. If I understand this process correctly, that is where we are at. Correct? And that's Joe Sloan. So with that said, I'm going to ask one more time, is there any public comment? I know everybody realizes how serious this decision is, especially with winter coming. I'm the one that's probably the most puckered here at the moment. But fair warning to either one of you, whoever wins, it's always a fun time. So with that said, I think Commissioner Gilman has made his position very clear. It's not an official motion yet. Is that something that either you want to support, you want to make a clear motion one way or another? Do you want to think about this for another 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's a great question. I throughout our conversations about this, one of my primary drivers has been how do we contain cost as best possible for the residents and business community of the county. And so if I were put on the spot, I think I probably would be leaning slightly towards waste management, simply for that reason that I saw it as slightly more competitive in that regard. But I do appreciate the value in both, and I'm not inflexible in my position. And I know that probably doesn't help you much at all, Chairman. But I do also want to say that I certainly respect the perspective of Commissioner Gilman. He makes some really compelling points, and so.
Yeah. I don't want to draw this thing out, but I mean, I do want to preface this by saying, you know, I come from a family of entrepreneurs. So obviously my heart always goes out to the smaller company. Where I get torn is I see the company always, the county always takes one direction, and that is the lowest bidder, period. That doesn't always sit well with me because I don't always think that the lowest bidder necessarily is going to give us the best product. So with that said, using the county philosophy of the lowest bidder is, we pick that company. I don't know, like I said, I mean, my district is definitely the one that is most difficult. Your district probably is second. The streets, the location definitely does not make trash pickup very easy. So, the decision is extremely difficult because, like I said, I know the folks that I've worked with. I also don't have an issue giving somebody a shot. But this decision does not come lightly. So if I had to be the one to sort of guide this ship right now, to be very honest with you, I've had essentially 3 days to look at this proposal. I'm going to ask that we postpone this another 2 weeks. I know, I'm sure it's torture for everybody, and I apologize. But at the end of the day, I'm one of three guys that people call when there's problems. And so I don't want to make a rush decision because at the end of the day, we're going to pay the price. All three of us, four of us, five of us, have to deal with this. I'm going to get outvoted today. I would say that what I would like to do is I'd like just a bit more time to really digest everything, because as a commissioner, we get this stuff 3 days before the meeting. It's a fairly intense decision to have to go through. So I will say what saddens me is that everybody seems to have a voice, but I haven't seen anybody from the public here to help with this decision. Because at the end of the day, we're not the three paying the bill. All of us are. So it does sadden me that there are there's very little residential input. I think we've gone through every extent to have town halls, which were poorly attended. So at the end of the day, the decision does fall on us. If I have to make a motion today, I say that we postpone this 2 weeks. I would like to thoroughly, seriously go home, think about this, and not drag this meeting out for another 3 hours while we vacillate on what we want to do. So if my fellow commissioners are willing to follow suit, I would suggest we make a motion to postpone this to the next commission meeting. And then at that point, if there are any questions in the meantime, we'll give both parties ample time to respond. I think at that point we'd be willing to make a decision. And then I know basically that gives either party, either waste management, they don't maybe necessarily need as much time to ramp up. I'm going to give you guys the benefit of the doubt and ask you to come up here. If we postpone this another 2 weeks, is this going to be catastrophic as far as you guys getting the bid hypothetically and giving yourselves time to ramp up and service the county? Because that is obviously a concern. So if somebody from Nevada Recycling would like to come up, I do want to take that into consideration because I know time is of the essence.
Mr. Chairman, Lance Gilman here, if I may, I will reach out and support you in your decision to postpone for 2 weeks, if that becomes the decision here at the table. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Alexia, I see you, but I have Mr. Bentley from Nevada Recycling. I'd like to hear. I don't want to cause any undue hardship by postponing this.
No, I appreciate that. I don't believe that. I'd rather you make a decision that works for you and your team. Certainly, we'd love it to be Nevada Recycling and Salvage, but I'd rather have a good conscience about it as well.
I appreciate
that. And so, you know, the 2 weeks, not going to be catastrophic.
Okay. Right. I appreciate that. Thank you. Alexia?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I had two comments. One, just an offer that may or may not help the commission come to a final decision. I wonder if financial incentives such as state or federal grants or other incentives might help sway the decision in one direction or another, especially considering that our county currently doesn't have a recycling plan and that including one might make financial incentives available to the county in the future. So I just wanted to offer that as a point of thought in going forward and considering the selection that the commission wants to make. And the second comment that I want to make is that as a resident and a business owner in Virginia City in Story County, I would prefer to go with whichever service is going to be more flexible in providing services to the businesses, especially the Sunday pickup or anything like that, because, you know, sitting on our trash for a couple of days after a really busy weekend isn't helpful and conducive. And it also seems to attract wildlife into the core of Virginia City. So just two points to consider. And then finally, I would just like to say that I appreciate taking a few more weeks to really mull this over and consider all of the possibilities. So thank you for your diligence.
You're welcome, Alexia. I appreciate your comments. I appreciate you participating in this process. You know, again, like I said, obviously we want to save the residents as much money as possible. But at the same time, going through this for the last 10 years, managing my homeowners association, I also want to make sure that we get the best service for our dollar, because I don't want to cheap out and then struggle with service. So anyway, that is kind of where the decision gets difficult. Ms. Kostelecki, I know that you or appear to want to come up.
Chairman Carmona, members of the board, Kendra Kostelecki, Waste Management for the record. I do want to invite you as members of the board, any staff and the public to come out and see Waste Management's Recycling Center, which is located in Reno. It is open to the public. It's always open to the public. We do tours twice per month, but I'm happy to schedule something to fit with your timeline here so that you can see how recyclables are handled by Nevada, or excuse me, by Reno, Waste Management in Reno, here in Nevada.
Thank you. I believe we have a chat. Yeah. If someone go ahead, but I believe we have a chat question.
Oh.
Karen wants to make a comment.
Yeah, Karen, go ahead and jump in.
She wants to talk to you privately.
Not sure if she has a microphone.
Well, it says as a citizen, but I just
would like to chat with me.
To Jay.
Jay.
I don't know.
All right. Well, when the meeting's over, Karen, I mean, I don't think we can have a private discussion right now. All right. So, Mr. Sloan.
So, just protocol for us with the extension. Of course, it provides no hardship for us. We've always known that we have this narrowing timeline and there will be a need to order some equipment and get that stuff. But I believe that both of the proposals will be able to provide what they proposed in a timely manner. So
appreciate that.
I'm pretty certain of that. Also, we invited the proposers to question us regarding the RFP and the draft agreement, and we got those questions. In the meantime, I don't want to proceed into negotiations, but I do want the nod to be able to question back the proposers regarding some specific elements of their proposals, including waste management had some objections to some contract language and
yeah, I noticed
that type thing. So I'd like to be able to discuss that with them. Also, and Nevada Recycling and Salvage issued no exceptions, so I don't have anything to talk to them about there. There's that one. And then there are a couple of the revenue evaluations that we did where we normalized, as I mentioned, the customer count and customer distribution and the tonnage across the bidders. It was pretty straightforward with Nevada Recycling and Salvage. I would like to talk to Waste Management about that because they may have some perspective to give us that might, you know, change some of the revenue requirement from their perspective. So those are two things that I think it gives us an opportunity to do during this 2-week period.
All right. Thank you. So if, what we'll do is we'll craft the motion so that you can have enough comfortable direction to continue communications with these two folks. I don't see a problem with that. I just want to say one other thing, just to clarify. We have been involved in this process. So when I say we've had 3 weeks, 3 days, I just want the public to understand that, you know, we receive the packet when everybody else does. So, you know, I'm not trying to come across like we didn't know this was going on. We don't have the information. You know, we didn't see the results of your essentially findings until 3 days ago. So that's, I just want to clarify for anybody wondering where we've been. We've been present, did not get the opportunity to review this as we always do 3 days or so before the meeting. So with that said, I've talked more than I have probably last year. Does anybody have any other comments before I go back to my commissioners and ask for a motion?
I was just going to ask on those discussions that Mr. Sloan was talking about, is that something that we properly would wait for the next packet to see the results of those conversations? Or is that something that would come to us as those conversations happen?
I think you wait until next meeting afterwards. You all receive it at the same time. And so therefore, I would wait to have another presentation on these specific questions based on the motion that you put together here today.
Perfect. So the motion could authorize the conversations to go ahead and then to include the results of those conversations for our next meeting.
Well, no, the other way around. So he's going to have the conversation with the two of them, and then you'll get the information in your packet.
Yeah.
Okay. We're saying the same thing. I'm left-handed, so yeah. Sometimes it sounds different. Okay. Thank you. So it's like, no.
I'm sure you saw the questions Waste Management had regarding the contract. I didn't see anything that, you know, was catastrophic. And I don't know what other discussions you were going to have with Nevada Recycling, but I assume nothing you're going to discuss with them is going to be majorly catastrophic to, you're not going to come back in 2 weeks and, you know, tell us they're going to use helicopters and not pick up trucks.
I'll tip my hand on that. And so full disclosure, we just used the liquidated damages provisions that we negotiated previously with the city of Carson City 3 years ago. Those are the provisions that we negotiated there. Those are in the contract. And so we just use the same ones here. They've made some objections to those and said that they're overly punitive and they might not stand up to Nevada law. Okay. I'm not going to try to be a lawyer. We just put them in there because they'd been previously accepted by the company. So there's a discussion to be had there.
Okay.
And I don't think it would be unreasonable to change the amounts, but the point is that the reason we put them in there is they were part of another local contract and previously accepted. So,
okay.
All right.
Thank you. All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, are you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, I can make a motion. I'm just going to get the date on the next meeting. So it's date specific. 16. Thank you.
2024.
Thank you. All right. This is Commissioner Mitchell. I am going to move to continue this item to our next regularly scheduled board meeting, which is on January 16th, 2024, and further to authorize Mr. Sloan and his organization to continue conversations with both proposers on any details that that may need to be discussed between now and then.
That's sufficient motion? DA Langer?
I think so.
Wonderful. Well done, sir.
Second motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Before we move on to item 30, I want to thank both of you for being here again, both of you for your efforts and willingness with this RFP. I think both of you, as Mr. Sloan said, came back with outstanding stuff. So again, thank you. All right, moving on to item number 30 is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of business license second readings A through K. Any commissioner comment on the second reading of business licenses?
No comment, thank you.
All right, is there any public comment regarding the second reading? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
I move to approve the second reading of business licenses under item 30 listed as A through K.
Second that motion.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 31. This is the second and final time for public comment during this meeting. Is there any public comment? All right, not seeing any, brings us to item number 32. It is 12:57. Adjourn of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. See you in 2 weeks.